And they continue to make representations to government about their plight. There again, too, a very lazy approach has been adopted. Instead of enhancing regulations and enforcing them and ensuring that they are complied with, we have placed a blanket ban on them. We are comfortable with foreign multinationals who come here and engage in mining and repatriate all the monies to metropolises outside this country and leave virtually nothing for us. We are comfortable with them. Some of them too are engaged in very harmful mining practices. For how many years have we not lamented the state of Obuasi? And how at a point even their fruits were contaminated with cyanide and other harmful chemicals? We have lamented all of this. Who is responsible for that? Is it not these mining firms? So how can we as a people be very happy and satisfied with the operations of foreign mining firms and be angry at small-scale miners who have the licenses to operate and who perhaps may be veering off what they are supposed to do as per the license that they have? We are so angry at them, we are willing to put them out of business and render tens of thousands of people unemployed to aggravate an already tenuous unemployment situation. And we applaud ourselves that we've done well. So our citizens should suffer and live in penury, live in abject poverty and deprivation, and let foreign companies make all the money they want. Because as for them, they are sacrosanct, they are angels, they abide by every single law. We all know about violations of our laws by these mining firms. We all know it. And yet we are happy and satisfied with that. So sometimes you have to question the motivation behind this push against even Galamsey and small-scale mining, even if they are operating legally. Is it entirely motivated by the national interest or the interest of others who perhaps may be hiding behind some politicians to get some people out of the way so they can have, free reign as far as the mining is concerned? So let the MPP government, led by President Akufo-Addo, who clearly has gone back on his word, who has not shown sincerity in the matter of the fight against Galamsey, who perhaps is deserving of the allegations that the MPP is making against President Mahama or the names that they are calling him today, let them move away from this lazy approach and adopt a more comprehensive effort. If President Mahama were president today, he would do what he said in Kumasi. And there's no objective analyst and observer who can fault the position that he took. The position that he took, even if it was critical of government, did not warrant the attacks that he deserved. Indeed, as a country, we should be willing to entertain alternative views. We should be willing to discuss those views. We can disagree or even enhance the submissions that are made by others. But the default position of government appointees or a government should not be to launch scurrilous attacks on individuals because they have said something that is different. What the president said, President Mahama said, is right. That is what we should do as a country. Because, Randy, I can bet my last peswa that if an alternative livelihood is not found for those engaged in Galamsey, Operation Vanguard will be an exercise in futility. Because all they will do is to relocate. All they will do is to relocate or even go back. A time may come when they may be emboldened enough to want to square off with the people engaged in the anti-Galamsey operations. So let us not get to that level before we come and realize that there was wisdom in what President Mahama was saying. So in my view, President Mahama didn't do anything wrong. He spoke as a responsible former leader. And it is in the interests of this government and the whole country that they listen and perhaps draw useful lessons from previous failures and find ways to comprehensively address the problem. It is the chicken and egg situation. Perhaps it is about timing. Some may argue that until the alternative livelihoods are ready, it will be difficult to get them out. So put considerable effort into providing the alternative livelihoods, even if you will go after them, so that whilst you drive them out, you push them somewhere. You don't send soldiers to go and drive them out, hoping that on their own, they can fend for themselves. And so we'll have kumbaya, everything will be rosy, only for them to come back. And then we start these lamentations. So we should perhaps debate how best we can marry both positions, whether to tackle them even if they have nothing to live on at the moment, or give them something to do, so that perhaps you don't even need soldiers to go and drive them off. The very existence of decent livelihoods that are profitable enough to sustain them and their families may be an incentive to put them back, because I doubt very much that they themselves appreciate the conditions under which they work, because it is extremely dangerous. And how many times have deaths not been reported? I'm not sure of any rational human being who will be happy to engage in such a perilous activity that can lead to death if more decent alternatives exist. I mean, it will take an extremely rational human being to make such a dangerous choice. So that once you've done that, and the recalcitrant ones refuse to heed promptings to move away from it, then you can deal with them any way you want, as per the dictates of the law. But let us not be antagonistic towards suggestions that come in the resolution of national problems. Yes.